welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. And if I haven't stuffed this up, this should be episode 100. That was good, that.
It was. It was very exciting. See, I'm excited.
Well, you... Oh, you're in misery, Charles.
Well, you can't see I'm excited.
I don't want to see that you're excited.
Episode 100. Our centenary episode.
100, see? See, all those doubters that said 3-4 months ago we would never get to episode 100.
Who was that then?
I'm not sure there were any, actually.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, mate. It's Conrad and Mike. In your ears for episode 100.
Licking them. With our noises that come out of our mouth, not with our tongues.
Yeah. Orally caressing.
Yes.
Your ears.
With our dulcet tones.
I was about to say dulcet tones. Yes. Should we just... we could just do that for 15 minutes. We could just caress ears.
That would be probably nice for the listener.
Yeah. Maybe a little nibble of the earlobe.
They may not come back and listen to tomorrow's episode, though.
What, episode 101?
Yeah, because they was so put off by episode 100.
Oh, okay. Well, Jeffrey Boycott always says that it's really good to get to 100. So, there we go.
Who's he?
What do you mean, who's he?
I do know who he is, really.
What a buffoon. So, what are we going to talk about for episode 100?
We were going to talk about how people should have confidence in themselves and put themselves out there and go and organise stuff.
Well, you phrase that much nicer than when we were talking about it before.
Well, this is meant to be a sell, isn't it?
Oh, that's right. It's right. It's not going, bloody hell, you lazy gits, get off your ass and do something.
No, because that may not, right. That may not get the right response.
Okay. Yes. So, we had a conversation on the way back from the last tournament that we went to.
Yep.
Which was Deliverance. And, you know, when you're trapped in a car with Conrad, you have to do something to keep yourself entertained. So you don't, like, drift off and fall asleep. And
or crash into something. The car in front of you on purpose.
Well, yeah. Though you do have a nasty habit of going, oh, he's braking.
I'm just telling you, because I know that...
Yeah, but he's like half a mile ahead!
I know that your responses have got slower as you've got older.
Yeah, but if you're saying he's braking, I've probably already stopped and put it in reverse.
Anyway, back to the topic.
Yeah, so we were talking about stuff, and we were talking about... It turned into a reminiscing session, really. About how Conrad is the greatest event organizer going.
No, I'm not. I'm just an event organizer.
And has created at least 2 gaming scenes within the UK so far, and is now on to his third.
What, with the help of... In the Malifaux scene. But, I mean, Joe did such a huge thing with Malifaux. Were you digging me?
No. Oh. Well, I was, actually, yeah.
So, you know, huge kudos to Joe for doing that. But 20 years on, I still find myself involved in the scene. And you were, back in the day, involved with the WPS as well. And, all right, maybe not event organisation, but you've come back and you're doing event organisation as well. So there's an aspect of it's in our blood and we can't stop doing it. But there is also an aspect of, come on, guys, there's got to be other people out there who can essentially take on stuff and put on events, whether there's whatever the type of event. It's not hard. Everyone makes mistakes the first few times, but get off your butts and go and do it. So, yeah, so we can have a rest, basically.
Because we want to go to events as well. And so that was basically it, wasn't it? I mean, it was the wonderation that how it circled back round that we turned up in a new gaming scene that we knew nothing about, that we were completely rubbish at, in 2012, and then come 2014, we're organising a whole raft of events and planning on more for 2015.
Well, that's just you.
Well, it's not just me, really.
No, it's not.
But, you know, I mean, it's a serious question, and there are people in every scene who step up and organise events.
I think that's in any social circle, isn't it, really, as well?
Yeah. But I've heard people talk in the past about, oh, I'm worried about putting on an event and what happens if nobody comes and things like that. And the short answer is you just have to put something on. You know, it's a trite cliche to say build it and they will come, but it's pretty much true.
It is, yeah. I mean, there are obvious things that you can do to help that event be successful. Advertising, word and mouth, social media,
have me come,
get it advertised on a podcast, and do it all in good time as well. Not, you know, organise an event this Sunday and say, oh, nobody's turned up, because that's probably going to happen. So there's plenty of people out there as well who can help and give advice as well.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I mean, there is a massive amount of experience amongst the people who are regular TOs who will quite happily tell you things that they did wrong the first time or the second time or the third time, and help you and point you in the right direction. You know, one of the trickiest things for tournaments is getting the scoring right and making sure that the spreadsheets that you're using, and most people tend to use spreadsheets, are correct when you put the scores in. Because otherwise, you know, you just get this. If you put someone's score in the wrong way around and therefore it screws up your draw for the rest of the game, the rest of the weekend, you're just going, well, I shouldn't have been playing him anyway. I should have been playing him, and I would have beaten him, and I wouldn't have lost to him. And
there is that, yeah. But I think something as simple as data entry can go wrong in so many ways. The first way is that the actual data collection forms, you know, are not well designed. So when it comes to handing it over to the TO or the person doing the data entry, they have to look and think and understand.
Yep.
And when you're running an event, or even if you're just doing data entry and that's your only job, there's still people milling around, asking you questions, talking around you, and it's very easy to not be concentrating on what you're doing and input a score wrong.
Yep.
And if the results form is designed in such a way that it minimizes or reduces that data entry, you know, the likelihood of data entry being done incorrectly, then obviously that's a good thing. You know, simple thing, win or loss, you know. And the spreadsheet matches that form, so you're putting things in the particular order, so you can't necessarily get it wrong unless you're a complete and utter buffoon.
So we often get things wrong.
Yeah, but that's being human, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you have a very fancy spreadsheet that you've had for many years.
Yeah, that was developed over time by a programmer, and I mean, you've looked at the code, and it could be done better, but it works. It's been tested. It's been tried and tested. It works. It caters for repeat draws, potentially club players playing each other. And,
yep,
you know, it works. It's not as user-friendly as it could be, but,
nope,
you know, as long as you understand what you're doing, then that's
but
fine.
You don't need something that for your, you know, for a first event, you don't need something that's complicated.
Nope.
But you do need you do need to think about it slightly, just on how you're going to track things.
I mean, for smaller events, you could just do what the press gangers used to do, and probably still do to a certain extent if they haven't got IT equipment to help them with the scoring, is everything, the result slips for the Steamroller events are designed in such a way that you end up self-sorting them, you end up sorting them out, and the draws are done that way. You know, old school.
Yep.
So that's just one aspect of it, you know, the whole data entry side. Then specifically for Malifaux or even any event, terrain is always an issue. The Malifaux community is such a great community in terms of people bringing stuff. But then going back to the old days again,
going back to the old days,
when we used to organise fantasy battle events, part of the rules pack was that each player had to bring 2 to 3 bits of terrain. And there was part of the setup of the battlefield was essentially putting terrain down and scattering it. And that got rid of the whole terrain side of things.
Yeah. I mean, War Machine tournaments, you don't really need to bring a massive amount of terrain.
No, to be fair, I know that was a dig and I didn't rise to it.
It wasn't, it actually really wasn't a dig.
Oh, okay, all right.
It was a statement of fact.
Things are getting better on that. There is more terrain appearing on the tables, but it's very...
I heard a story from last weekend's Warhammer Machine tournament here in Norfolk that there were 4 or 5 pieces of terrain on a table, and a couple of players complained that there was too much terrain.
No. I think it's sort of...
No, it's a true story. That's a true story as related to me.
6 or 7 bits is about right. 8 or 9 is probably okay as well, as long as they're, you know, things like linear objects or rocks, things like that. But the War Machine community is pretty well developed now, and there's pools of terrain out there that people have, or clubs can get stuff together, because, as you said, you don't need as much for something like Malifaux or a World War II game, or, you know,
yep,
a heavy skirmish game where there's a requirement for a lot of scenery sort of thing. So, but either way, you know, there is always ways and means and people out there who can help you and give you advice and point you in the right direction or make suggestions, because at the end of the day, there's very little out there that people haven't come across already.
Yes.
And who've had to overcome those issues and have found ways around them.
Yeah. So what are we basically saying?
What we're saying is we'd like to retire in some sunny island, but still be able to go to tournaments run by other people.
Okay, you see, I'm not quite sure I'm saying that.
Oh, okay. What are you saying?
Well, I would like more tournaments and more variety for every game system. I'm not quite sure I'm ready to retire just yet, but that's mainly because of my own anal retentive nature.
That could go very, very. That could go many places, that statement.
Yeah, well, it's not going to go many places.
No, because I'm not Spooner.
It's just. So, what else? So that's that. So, what else can we talk about for 5 minutes to pad out the episode? Oh, actually, we don't need to, but we must have. We must have things. What have you been your highlights of the first 100 episodes?
The variety of content. I'm pleased that people are starting to help out in the community in terms of recording stuff. We're starting to see new faces, new names.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, this thing sort of takes 15, 20 minutes to record. There's very little editing done. The more the merrier. The more varied the content, the better. You know, we could go anywhere with this in terms of... We did the first computer game review. Any new films that come out, you know, that are potentially wargaming related or sci-fi or fantasy type films, or, you know, even geeky type films, you could have somebody reviewing the film and saying, oh, well, this is rubbish or this was good. Board games, we've started to do board games as well. It's all starting to pan out a bit.
Yeah, I think we've done a good job of keeping Malifaux off this. Because we've got other shows for that. The movie stuff, definitely. Spoons and I are already planning on recording some movie stuff. Fool's Popcorn or something like that. But yeah, I think it is really nice that people are want to record bits for the show. I know that Dan's episode went out a couple of days ago, and he's going to record some more stuff about various board games because him and his gaming group. What are you doing?
There's somebody at the door. I have to open the door.
Somebody at the door. Have you opened it?
No, I have to go away for a minute.
Oh, well, shall we just say bye-bye then?
Yes, let's go and say goodbye. It's probably one of right my then. Fans looking for autographs.
Or you're going to get murdered.
Or they've telling me that my pants are not been put on.
Okay. Well, until Conrad comes back from the dead, I've been Mike.
And I've been Conrad.
Bye.
Bye.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter. We're at Fools_Daily. Or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.